Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming.
Reading from Philippians chapter 2, and let's see, verses, I'll start at verse 1 and read a few verses here, because I think it'll fit in a little bit with our topic on joy in the darkness, Advent 2022. Pastor Jason Schiffo and two friends join us in the studio. Today we'll be looking at joy in promise, but there's joy in this verse, which is Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in the Spirit and purpose. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, December 2nd, 2022. And I shared a little bit of that because it seemed to be indicative of our Ministry Leaders Network gatherings that we had, where we bring different pastors and ministry leaders from different denominations, life experiences from various communities together, and then our prayer gatherings that generally are about every 2 weeks where we come together, and I think it represents close to 25 to 30 different churches. So it's great to see the unity and the joy as we share our common faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so today and the next few Fridays, we're going to be looking at Joy in the Darkness, Advent 2022. You'll see that posting on our Facebook page, Great News Radio, WLUJ, and also my own Mark Burns Facebook page. But Jason put that together as he's going to take us through a series. Today, Joy in the Promise. Next week, Joy in Hoping. The following week, Joy in Knowing. And then Joy in Living and Loving. So, Jason, do you want to do any introductory remarks? Being in Advent, did you feel like this would be some great topics to cover? Why'd you choose these?
Well, it is Advent, and so Advent in the Latin means towards the coming, and so we all would agree towards the coming of what?
Jesus.
Yeah, towards the coming of Jesus, but we don't want to make the mistake, as some sometimes do at this time of the year, is that they come to this and they act like Jesus hasn't come yet. They preach sermons like he's coming, you know, he's going to be here on Christmas. No, he's already arrived. And so when we move towards the coming in Advent, it reminds our hearts and it prepares our hearts to receive Christ again. That's the reason why we sing this song, Joy to the World. So many people sing that at Christmas time and they think that joy to the world, the Lord has come, you know, that he's been born into a manger. But that's not true. That song is about his second coming. His second advent, when Christ returns and all things in heaven and earth are brought together and all things are made new, as Revelation tells us in the latter chapters. And so as we move towards this coming, we're renewed again by the promises that God did indeed send his son, as he has said throughout the whole Old Testament. But then at the same time, we're also preparing our hearts for the fact that Jesus will return, that he has promised to do that, and that Jesus' promises hold true. He will come again. And so that is my intro.
Okay. Well, I know when people do sing Joy to the World, the Lord is come.
Is come.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. You'd say is come. Some will say has come, but yeah, he has come.
Well, many theologians would say that Jesus' first coming always is connected to his second coming. So the fact that that promise was fulfilled in his first coming, it is concrete evidence that we will see him again, because he's promised to come not just once, but to come again.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's why they use that, because presently and unexpectedly at any moment that could happen. Jesus could come in the middle of this radio program. All of a sudden, it could go.
Jason, where'd Jason go? Hey, what does that mean?
Why are we still here? That means Mark's still here?
Yeah,
oh, no.
Not a good sign. That's funny. That reminds me of a story. Once we had somebody stay in our home, and it was a gal, a younger gal, and she was watching over our dog, and it was a really mysterious kind of evening, and she just felt like the rapture had happened, and she was left behind. She called her mom in the middle of the night to make sure she was still there. It was just really kind of a funny situation, but it won't be for many when that does happen.
Yeah,
and, you know, anyway, so.
Is this Beamer?
Beamer, when Beamer Redeemer is alive. Yeah, she was watching after him and maybe our chickens at the time. I can't remember. Anyways, yeah, joy in the season. It is Advent season. Did you, with your children, have the Advent calendars where they were eating the chocolate?
Well, that actually just started on Thursday. So Advent officially begins in December when you have the chocolate calendars because they only count down for 25 days. So that begins on December 1st. And so even though liturgically the calendar has us started with the fifth Sunday before Christmas, the chocolate calendar, it doesn't begin until December 1st. So Wednesday was Advent Eve, and then we began with the chocolate on Thursday. But one of the things, you know, that is interesting is this passage Paul says, he talks about being of like mind, of being of the same mind. He says that his joy will be complete when the followers of Jesus have the same mind. And so I wonder, Tad and Alaric, where do you think that we as Christians, how will we have the same mind? Hmm. What is it that binds us together and gives us the same mind?
Wow. Never really thought of it like that. But yeah, we would be connected to Jesus so closely that we begin to think the way he does, which is love everybody. Mm-hmm. And
but what would practically grace. Connect us together? What do we have? What do we all have or should have that practically connects us together?
Our fellowship.
Our fellowship and what else? I'll give you a hint. Best-selling book in the entire world. Also, the book that's been given away more than any other book for free. The Bible, you're right. And so Paul is saying, partially saying to these believers, we're all connected to Jesus. We're all connected via the Spirit. But in the same way, we all have the Word of God. So we all should know what the love of God looks like because we have that. We all should know what godly encouragement looks like because we have that. We all should know what mercy looks like because we have that. And when we say we're the followers of Jesus, but our love doesn't look the same, then that means that somebody has either misinterpreted or misapplied the Word of God. Because we all have this Word. This Word should be the great leveler. It gives us all the same thing to work from. And so when we talk about joy in promise, we as Christians should never as the followers of Jesus forget the Old Testament. Forget to read the Old Testament. I know a lot of Christians who are like, no, I'm just about the Gospels, the New Testament, because I'm a New Testament Christian. Well, the problem is that Jesus and Paul and the disciples and all the people who the faith rests upon in the beginning, they didn't have the New Testament. They were not New Testament Christians. They were Old Testament followers of God. They were the people of God because all they had was the Old Testament. When Paul went away and he studied for 2 years about what it meant to interpret this Damascus Road moment that he had with Jesus, he spent 2 years studying what?
Good point. The Old Testament. And anytime Jesus referred to, have you never read? Have you not read in the scriptures? He was referring to what we think of as the Old Testament.
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And so here's the problem. First problem I think we have as Christians is that the word old is attached to that. And so what I do in my Bibles is I always cross that off and I write the First Testament. Because there's a First Testament and there's a Second Testament. Because here's the problem. We think old means passé and new means for now. But that's not true when it comes to the Bible. Because as one of my teachers in college used to say, in seminary used to say, the old is the new concealed and the new is the old revealed. And so as we dig into the Old Testament, we find things that are going to be present in the New Testament already in the Old Testament there. Because God has been doing what he told us all to do. Sow seeds. He's been sowing seeds continually throughout the Old Testament to tell us about someone in particular. Anybody know who that someone is? Yeah.
Alaric?
Jesus?
Exactly. Whenever any of your Jesus-loving friends ask you any question, just say Jesus if you're unsure, because 99% of the time you're right or you can be right. But here's the deal. The Old Testament is all about Jesus. Mm-hmm. From the beginning of the Old Testament to the end of the Old Testament, it's all about Jesus. I mean, the Old Testament begins, and it says, in the beginning. Anybody know how that goes?
God.
Yeah. In the beginning, God, or in the beginning was the Word.
Yeah.
Yep. And so we know later on from John chapter 1 that what is the Word?
Jesus.
Jesus is the Word. In fact, in the first four verses of the Old Testament, in the first four verses of the first book of the Old Testament, we see the Word, the Spirit, and God himself. We see all three participants of the Trinity. And then later on in verse, I think it's 27, 28, we see all of those people come together to create man. And so that brings us to this moment where we have the first mention of Jesus in the Bible, which is Genesis 3:15. Does anybody know what happens in Genesis 3:15?
Well, Genesis 3, there's the sin.
Yep.
The fall of man.
The promise.
His heel.
The Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
The heel part where.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. So it says, I will put enmity between you and the woman. So the woman is taken. She's been deceived, and she has taken the fruit from the tree that you're not supposed to eat from. God said you can eat from any other. You can eat at any restaurant in this town, but don't eat in that one. And they eat from that one. She's deceived, and she takes that from there. But unfortunately, her husband, Adam, who has authority over all the animals in the garden and who has been given authority over the garden by God to tend and care for it, he willfully takes that fruit and eats it. So he abdicates his authority. And in that moment, fellowship between God and man is broken. And God comes down and he says, I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and her offspring. Isn't this interesting? Now he's talking to Satan. And so he says, between your offspring, so your offspring will be all those who have fallen. And then he says to the woman, your offspring. He doesn't address the man. He addressed the woman. Why? Because the Son of Man is going to come and be born from a virgin. So all the way back in Genesis 3:15, we find out that this Savior, this person who is to come, is going to be born of a woman and going to be born of a virgin. And then it says this, and he shall bruise your head and you shall bruise his heel. Now, what's more dangerous, a shot to the heel or a shot to the head?
Shot to the head.
Yeah, listen, the cross is a headshot. And so right here in Genesis 3:15, we have what's going to happen. We have what's going to happen, and it's amazing. And then, if we go forward to the New Testament begins in Matthew chapter 1 with what? What does it begin with?
Genealogies.
A genealogy, yep. Does anybody know what the first three names in a genealogy are? Come on now. Now we're testing our knowledge.
Jesus, David, and Abraham?
This is the account of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, so... Yet we want the son of David in there. Why?
Because he's the king.
He's the king, right? So we're introducing Jesus as king through a kingly lineage. And then what does he say?
Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Yep. The son of Abraham. Abraham fathered Isaac, and Isaac fathered Jacob. And now why are all the three of those important?
That's the three patriarchs, the founding of the Jewish family.
Yeah, the promise was carried through them.
Yep. Now listen. If you're in the New Testament and you read something and it doesn't cause you to go back to the Old Testament, then chances are is that you missed what you're reading. Because there was this thing called remez in the way that the Jews would study, that they constantly wanted to point back to what God has already done. And so here, right away we know, okay, David. And we know that there's passages regarding David, when David's anointed to become king, that his kingship will be forever. It will be an eternal kingdom that will be carried on by somebody in his lineage. That is Jesus. That's in Samuel. But why would we want to go back to Abraham?
Well, he got one of the original promises.
Yeah.
Okay, he got one of the original promises. When Abraham, in this momentous moment in Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3, Abraham, God calls to this man, Abram, and he says to him, now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and from your kindred, from your father's house, to the land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. So that will be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse. And then here's something fascinating. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. We have a New Testament word for that. What is it?
Jesus.
He sort of got it. The gospel. How will all the families of the earth be blessed? And so listen, in Matthew chapter 1, in that lineage, when you read Abraham, your mind should immediately say, wait a second, what in the life of Father Abraham points me to this lineage? Oh my gosh, that God said that through Abraham, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Well, how could that possibly be? Because the nation of Israel still hasn't spread from just this little country of Palestine yet. How could it go to all the ends of the earth yet? How is this going to happen? It's going to happen through Jesus. So immediately you're taken back to Abraham. But then listen, you're taken back to Isaac first. And Isaac in Genesis 17:19, then God said, yes, but your wife Sarah will bear a son and you will call him Isaac. And I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him. So through Abraham into Isaac, we have this covenant that's going to last forever and it's going to spread across the entire earth. Then we come to Jacob. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth, and you will spread out to the west and to the east and to the north and the south, and all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you and your offspring. So right there in those first three people in the genealogy of Jesus, when we go back to the Old Testament promises, we find that God is promising that through these people is going to come somebody who is going to populate the earth with this blessing, with this message of what God has done and what God is doing. We call that the gospel. And so what's fascinating, that person was announced the minute the fall happened, the minute that brokenness entered into the garden and into the world. God says, wait a second, I got a plan. See, God isn't making it up as he goes. God has a plan. I'm going to send somebody, and you're going to get a heel shot. It's going to look like you won, but he's going to get the head shot, and it's called the cross. And then we begin this movement through the Old Testament. This is why we can't leave the Old Testament behind, because the Old Testament encourages us that for thousands of years, God was intentionally and actively seeking to put back together that which was broken. And how many of us need to hear that? How many people listening to this radio program right now, as they enter into the holiday, what they feel deep in their bones is some of the brokenness of their life? Maybe there's a family member you haven't talked to for a long time. Maybe there's somebody who's not going to be with you this year who was once with you, and it feels empty. Maybe there's just hurt. I don't know what kind of brokenness you're experiencing. But listen, the whole of the Old Testament tells the story of a God who brings that which is broken back together again. Those New Testament promises of who Jesus is concealed in the pages of the Old Testament. And if we don't read the Old Testament, my fear is that we're going to miss the fact that God has been telling the story of Jesus for all time.
And I like that point where you said it at least twice, an everlasting covenant or an everlasting promise. And that's something that you can like bank on. It's not temporary, or it might come to fruition. It's an everlasting promise. Mm-hmm. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. And so in Genesis 3:15, God says, he points to the woman. I just imagine God kind of pointing to the woman and saying, this is going to come from your offspring. You're going to be born of a virgin. And so that should lead us. Whenever we read the Bible, we should be filled with questions, not answers. Sometimes we come to the Bible and all we want to do is find an answer. The problem is the Bible should lead us to more questions, because more questions leads us deeper into the presence of God, leads us to know and love God more. And so when you read Genesis 3:15, the first thing you should ask is, where else in the Bible does God say that this person who is to come, who's going to get the headshot, that person is going to be born of a virgin? Anybody know? It's one of our favorite Christmas verses.
I know it's in Micah. No, that's the one about Bethlehem.
Nope.
In Luke.
Nope. We're thinking Old Testament now. Don't leave the Old Testament. Yeah. See, our inclination is always to go to the New Testament. Think about the Old Testament. How about this? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. This is something that only the Lord's going to do. He mentioned that in Genesis 3:15, and I will. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel.
It's Isaiah, yeah.
Yep, Emmanuel, which means what?
God with us.
God with us. The fulfillment of the 28 times in the Bible that God declares to his people that he will be with them. By the way, in those 28 times in the Bible, it says, I will be with you. The 29th time, does anybody know where the 29th time appears? It's the last time that God says he'll be with his people. Does anybody know where it appears? And don't say Revelation, it's actually before that.
Hebrews?
Nope.
Nope. Matthew 28. The end of Matthew, where Jesus
says, with you always.
I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Yep. And listen, he adds the word always and surely, depending on your translation. Because unlike all the other times where God says, I'm going to be with you, I'm going to be with you, Jesus says to his disciples, because now they got a mission to go out into the world and to share this good news, he says, surely I'm going to be with you. You don't have to question it. You don't have to wonder if I'm going to be with you. I am going to be with you. The whole of the Bible tells that story of a God who is with us, actively participating, intentionally participating in this journey as he's bringing forth Jesus. We can't leave the Old Testament behind. And in fact, there's another passage in Isaiah that I love in chapter 9. It says, but there'll be no gloom for her who is in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, the later time, he has made the glorious way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, the Galilee of the nations. That's fascinating in itself, because you go, the Galilee, where did Jesus come from?
Mm-hmm.
The Galilee. But listen, it says in Matthew chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, leaving Nazareth, he being Jesus, lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. So God intentionally moves through Jesus to fulfill that thing in the Old Testament. 378 times there are allusions and God pointing through the scripture to the fact that Jesus is going to come, that someone is going to come who's going to put this thing back together again. And so we leave the Old Testament behind. We leave behind more than 378 reasons why we should trust and have faith in who God is. Which leads me to think that anybody who preaches dispensationalism or who preaches that we shouldn't read the Old Testament, we need to run as far away from those people as we can, because those people only watch the last 15 minutes of any movie. We need the whole of the story. By the way, God said in the last verses of Revelation, anyone who leaves out any of this story will be cursed. Mm-hmm. And he says those who read it all and keep it all will be what? Blessed. Yeah. And so we need to know the whole of the story. And we need to know the promises that we stand upon. And the only way we'll know those is if we read all of the Word of God. And then I think that we'll have what Philippians said. We'll have that kind of encouragement that comes from being bound together by the same thing. Ted, you and I and Alaric, we shouldn't define love any differently, because we read God's Word and we define love as God does.
God's Word, we highly recommend you reading it each and every
highly
day.
Highly recommended.
Highly recommended. It is inspired, and it's not only an instruction manual, a love letter, but it's a way to get to know God better. And he's recounted these stories through men, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so that we can understand what he wants us to know. And yes, some of it may be difficult or hard to understand, but that's why we dig into it. That's why we pray over it. That's why we teach it over the airwaves. That's why we encourage you to attend a church each and every Sunday where they divide God's Word. They open it up in its fullness. And as you have said many times, Jason, it's always just layered. There's something that gets peeled or uncovered, or you can read God's Word one day and read that same verse a week, a month, a year, 10 years later, and get or glean new things out of it, or there's different levels of understanding. God's Word is always living and active. It's incredible. And so we do hope you spend time in it, especially during this Advent season, and maybe begin a practice of reading with your family. I know, Jason, you did that during that COVID time where everyone, you went through the whole Bible, reading it over the phone or through the Zoom calls, and just the incredible unity it brings to a family or to friends when you study it together and you talk about it, you havarim with it, you go through it. And
so I have an idea.
Yes.
Because I'm going to help you out right here. What I would love to do is I would love to have all the listeners, those who are in earshot right now, listening to this program. We're telling you that you should read the Bible, but you know what? You shouldn't just read it alone. You should read it together. And one of the best places that you could read the Bible today, gather a couple friends together and head over to 103 West Market View Drive to the Sweet Basil Cafe.
Oh, yeah.
And you can grab something wonderful to eat, and big hot chocolate or some chicken Alfredo. They have ribs and pancakes. They have everything. Sit at the table. Wrestle what it means to follow God. Look through the Old Testament. See where Jesus pops up. And then talk about how, not only where he pops up in the Old Testament, but how he's been popping up in your life lately as you enjoy a wonderful meal at the Sweet Basil Cafe.
Yeah, and they now carry our Prime Life Times publication. We appreciate Jennifer over there. She's the general manager, and it's a great restaurant. I'll have more to say about them in the coming days. Thank you, Jason, for reminding me. I wanted to do a little shout-out. I enjoyed a great meal there. And in fact, in this month's edition of the Prime Life Times, Marianne Simpkins, under Delicious Destination, wrote about the Sweet Basil Cafe. You'll see that on page A7. But anyways, it's Advent time, everyone. Be in God's Word. Be fellowshipping with one another. Be praying up this radio ministry. What we do is to God's glory, and we appreciate your partnership with us so that we can proclaim his good news message to all the world.
Well, Alaric, are you going to sing us out? You always have a song.
Yeah. Song on your heart, Alaric? All right, save that for the singing.
How about what would you do if I sang out a tune?
Hey,
would
he'll be singing on December 17th here at Marketplace
That's
Mall
right.
in Champaign, as the Singing Men of GNN will be putting on a free concert at noon. It'll be the 23rd year we've sang in the food court here, so we appreciate how Marketplace Mall has accommodated us all these many years, other than the break during the COVID. We had 21 consecutive years, and now we'll be, or 22 consecutive years.
I was thinking of our song, Standing on the Premises.
Yep. But we won't be singing that this Christmas. We'll be singing a lot of great God-honoring Christmas music that raises high the name of Jesus. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Alaric, Jason, and Tad with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.